Blog Talk Radio. All right, all right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today. All right, as you can tell, I just got finished watching the Kevin Hart documentary. Well, I didn't just finish watching today, but I was watching the Kevin Hart documentary on Netflix, the six-part episode series he has. I was talking about his life and where he got his mindset from. And I was reminded, again, about obviously about his father and the life that he shared with his father, the ups and the downs, and that he took the pain of the relationship he had with his father being at one time addicted to heroin, crack, and a lot of hardcore drugs. And he was able to take that pain and bring it out in his comedy. And as you know, one of the things that as I've started the my blog talk shows over the years, I do open up with that. All right, all right, all right, all right. It might be so expressive or so explosive or intense, but that all right, all right, all right, all right. Yeah, I did get that from the Kevin Hart series, the Kevin Hart comedy special that was done. And where the beginning of it said, you're going to learn today. Now, we know that Kevin, his father, took it to a whole nother level and really didn't and didn't intend for it to be as part of the opening of a Bible talk show. But, again, all right, all right, all right, all right. We're going to learn today. All right, we're going to get into the scriptures, and hopefully – by the Spirit of the Most High, he will allow some understanding to be shared and to be used. And again, just to redefine, but when I do talk about understanding now, the definition I'm using for understanding is not even that dictionary definition, but if I ask if it's understanding, we understand what's going on. What I'm asking when I am using that particular phrase, understanding, does a person see how they can apply this in their life? Right? That I'm asking if you can repeat what I just said. That's not what I'm asking. Do you understand? What I'm asking for is, do you see how you can take this information we're going over? You can take this advice that we're going over. You can take these scriptures that we're going over and actually use them. But there's a practical knowledge to it that it can be put into practice. It can be put into play. It can be used. That is where I'm coming from when I do ask a question, do you understand or do we understand that how can I take the information that's being given to me and actually put it into use, put it into practice, put it into play, apply it in life, okay? So with that being said, you've tuned into Bible Talk, Sport of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashaba. One of the teachers with the ISBHBK. That's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We have a location in Albuquerque, New Mexico, San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, and also Norfolk, Virginia. We do teach that the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Central Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and Mexicans. Those people here in the Western Hemisphere of the planet, that as far as your ethnicity, here, no, in the Western Hemisphere of the Americas, North and South America, that your identity traces back to the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel. Now, that you are the true descendants of the Israelites. You are the true descendants of those people that Moses led out of Egypt. You are the direct descendants of those people that walked through the Red Sea. You are direct descendants of those people who were standing at Mount Sinai when the Lord gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments. Seeing the Mount Sinai on fire, smoking, the earthquake, the thunders, the lightnings, the whole nine, that we're the people, we're the direct descendants of those people who ate the manna every day that the Most High had gathered for the children of Israel to be their sustenance, to be our food. That we are those people. We are those people that we are descendants of those people that Joshua led into the promised land, back into the promised land to reclaim and repossess what was promised and given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That we are their direct descendants. That is who we are. living here in the Western Hemisphere, not to exclude any other Israelites that are descendants from those people that have been scattered to the four winds of the earth, that have been scattered to the four corners of the earth. If it's Kaifeng, China, if it's in India, if it's in Japan, if it's in Australia even, that the scriptures does describe and tell us that the Israelites, because of our sins, our transgressions, are going against the culture and the heritage that the Most High did provide for us, that we will be scattered to all nations and to all four corners of the earth. So when we give the 12 tribes chart and we give the 12 tribes designation, we are speaking to those people here in the Americas, North, Central, South America, because we happen right now to be living in North, Central, South America, let them know your ethnicity, your true nationality does trace back to you are the Israelites, okay? But there are, again, Israelites have been scattered to the four corners of the earth. Throughout every nation, the Israelites have been scattered, and as a punishment. But we know that as when Christ does make his return, who the world does call Jesus Christ, who we call Yahweh Shai, when he does make his return for the final salvation and the final deliverance for the children of Israel from every captivity we've been in, every oppression we've had to be under, that as that event takes place, that, again, Israelites will be gathered together from all over the world, right? And that's scripture, and that's facts, right? Fact check that, you know what I mean? Know what I mean? Do you understand? Cool. That we are going to be gathered, but in us being gathered back together, now before we make our return back to the promised land, return back to our rightful place in the universe as the sons and daughters of the Most High God, that has to be gathered, an awakening that needs to take place first. And this awakening, in Revelations, you might have read about the first resurrection, and it talks about the second death and the third death, what have you. Not that I want to go into that topic today, but that first resurrection is the resurrecting of the children of Israel back to our nationality. The resurrecting of that when we do read the scriptures, I do want to pull that real quick. Understanding. Congregation. That when we read the book of Proverbs, when we do read the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 16, the Most High does give us a clue. The Most High does give us a hint about his vocabulary, his slang, how he talks. That when it talks about that first, the first and second resurrections and the first, second death, what have you, we understand that the first resurrection, it is talking about this right here, Proverbs 21:16, where it says, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." That if you lose your understanding to who you are, and we're going to look at from a national level, when we lost our understanding of who we are, that is going to lead me to my next scripture also, and our true purpose, that as we're here in the Americas, a lot of us have been led to believe that we're from so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans. We've been led to believe that our purpose or our God-given talent is to play some type of sport, whether it be here in America, what we call soccer, or what the rest of the world calls football, whether it be basketball, whether it be sprinting, running, baseball, that we believe our God-given talent is just to be an athlete. So we spend billions of dollars in these type of endeavors just in the belief that is my God-given talent, and that's where I'm going to shine, that's where I'm going to be accepted, that's where I am somebody. That I'm not just a spot in the wall, I'm a nobody, but I am somebody. And we've been exploited in that way of thinking, and we give our lives to hours and hours and hours and hours of practice and of studying of these different sports and these different things trying to find who we are, trying to find some type of identity. And that just goes to show how much we have wandered away from understanding. We don't understand our true purpose. That when the Most High made man in his image, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image, that was not the image of that we're going to be the greatest singers on the planet Earth. That nobody else on the earth could sing. Nobody else on the earth knew how to be entertainers. So God, when he spoke with the angels, and he said, let us make man in our image, that talent that he wanted to give was that we would become the greatest entertainers on the world's ever known. And that's my God-given talent. That goes to show, again, I'm just trying to use as examples from how people are given to sports, to how people are given to being, it's just about how well I sing, or how well I act, or how well I dance. That all those are, that is not the understand what you were made for. That is not the reason God brought you on the planet Earth, is that you could be the athlete, so you could be the entertainer, so you could be that that comedian, so you could be or just going to work. That my whole purpose for God created me is just so I can go to school, get my high school diploma, maybe get a 2-year associate's degree or bachelor. I don't know how the number game works with that, but to get a degree from some type of college, go to work, save my 401k, get a healthy, good retirement plan, and retire and live a good life in South Florida, or travel the country with my RV and my motorcycle, and we're going to just do the damn thing. Or we're going to just sell to Mexico or Jamaica or what have you, and live live our final days in peace and happiness and joy and mojitos and margaritas and salsa dancing. If that's where our people's minds have been left, that is what God brought me on earth for. That's what I was created for. When I was created to be, again, that rap mogul. When I was created to be just a rapper. I'm gonna create the best beats ever. If that's what we're thinking, that our understanding, if that's what we think God put us on the planet for, it goes to show that we have wandered out of the way of understanding. From Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. We're not being used for what we were created for. It's funny, as everybody's got a smartphone now, there was a time where we had a device. If you want to listen to music, there was a device called a Walkman or a Discman. And it's funny, some kids today don't even know what a disc is, besides a video game disc. But there was things called, when CDs were first made, they put albums on a CD, an album, one album on a CD from your favorite artist. And you had a device called a Walkman that you put that CD into, and you walked around with that, and all you did was listen to that one CD. Unless you had multiple CDs, you had a CD carrier where you had maybe 5 or 6 different music CDs, and you carried that with you and would listen to your music on your Walkman or Discman radio. Before that, it was a cassette tape, and I already know there's some adults who never seen a cassette tape, the white cassette tapes that you would put in and have to hit forward and rewind to listen to your songs. Before cassette tapes, it was 8-track players. And it was also the 45 RPM records, whether they were the little records or your albums were played at 70 RPMs. But I'm saying that if you have that Discman, some people might even have a disc player that you play on the TV. In the age of, again, the internet with the sticks, Roku sticks or whatever. I think it's the actual terminology, the vocabulary, that there's a time where you can only watch, you had to go buy discs. Sometimes you're in Walmart, you might see them, or movies that are on, because now they have Blu-rays and all type of stuff. But now with the discs, you just plug that in. I've seen a friend of Tulsa Park and his family. They actually, I never thought about it. You can download movies now to a flash drive. You can take that flash drive, if you have a radio equipped, and you can plug that to your input in your car, and then you can watch movies from a flash drive. You don't even have to carry the movie disc with you any longer to watch movies on a road trip, which is absolutely amazing. But getting back to the point I'm trying to say, if you have this Discman or a DVR, that if you're not using that device for what it was intended for, that device is dead. That device is dead. It's not being used for what it was intended for. For those who might remember what a VHS player is, the VHS tapes, that if you ain't not using a VHS player to play VHS tapes, what good is it? It's dead as far as what it was created for. So even us now as Israelites coming back, and as we're in this great awakening that's taking place, coming back to our nationality, coming back to our culture, coming back to our identity, and now having to also come back and realize, what is my true destiny? What is my true fate? What did God really create me for? I know what my parents instilled in me as far as what they wanted. They wanted me to be a doctor, a lawyer, a G, a thug, a boss, whatever. We have that impression upon us. But what was God's intent for us? What does God want for us or from us? Why did he really make us? And if he made me to be a man, then what does God want? What's God's expectation for me as his son? What standard does he want for me to live by and to live up to and to uphold? If I'm a woman, then am I upholding, am I being what God created a woman to be? To his standard, to why he created a woman, a child, a brother, a husband, a friend. Am I living up to his standard of what he created us for? And so far, we've been dead to that. We've been dead to God's plan for us. We've been dead to God's identity for us. And we've been living by this American identity of who we think we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to act. If it's I'm supposed to be a thug, a rapper, I'm supposed to be in these streets, yo. I'm supposed to be a mumble rapper. Okay, that's why God created you? To make sound effects? That's in everything God created, the whole universe, and all his great glory, with the sun, the moon, the stars, the seas, the intricacies of how intricate the body, the systems of the body are, the endocrine system, the digestive system, the nervous system, how your blood vessels and everything works, but all the intricate details of how these systems work so well together. God put all these things together so you could be a mumble rapper. Really? That is why the miracle of life, the miracle of your mother and father, who, regardless of your relationship with them, but your mother and father was put together, a body was formed, your spirit was put into that body they formed, because God's purpose for you was to be a soccer player. That's what God wanted from you. Or to be the employee of the month. That's why God made heaven and earth, make sure the sun rises and falls every day the way it does. Make sure the tide, the sea, that the sea doesn't rise up above the beach. Make sure that the so-called gravitational pull of the moon, working on the tides and everything, so that a woman's cycle works proper, is so that, and all these things we set in the earth, the perfect balance of hydrogen and oxygen to make the air we breathe, so that you can survive, so that you can live. Everything that's been created by God is so that you can be a mumble rapper. So you can just get a good job with benefits. So you can retire good. That is why we were created. And that's why everything that's happening in the world, all the wars that have been fought, all the dynasties that have risen and fell, all the bloodshed that's ever happened, is that we can get here now in the year 20, so-called year 2020, so I can be the best I can be, which is get a job with benefits, so that I can live my best life. I'm kind of wrestling with that one right there. That to live my best life is to have the iPhone 11. Whatever the next gaming system that's going to come out is, have possession of that. And that the Cowboys finally get a new head coach. So that Christ died on the cross so that I can live my best life. And that's the life that God intended for me to live. The math of that equation right there, that's not adding up for me. Right now, that's I'm sorry, that's not doing it for me right now. That doesn't click right now. That obviously there's a much greater purpose that God has for us as His chosen people, for us as the Israelites. That there obviously is a life that He has intended for us, but I don't think it's the life that we've been striving to try and live here in the Americas. So as I was just alluding to, that again, dealing with that first death and the second death or whatever, that we have died as a nation, that we have lost our identity and understanding of why God created us and what our true purpose is, what our true duty is, what our real culture is, that we really have lost that. But we're in the process now of what's taking place, as I call it the Great Awakening, that as we Israelites are now waking up back to our identity, that now as we're starting the first steps of just now learning the truth of our identity, that before the so-called discovery of the Americas, who were the Negroes? Before Amerigo Vespucci discovered America, then who were the Native Americans? Before Scipio Africanus conquered Hannibal, and the continent of Africa was given the name Africa. So now we're so-called African Americans. Before it got the name Africa, then who were so-called African Americans, or Afro-Caribbeans, or Afro-Jamaicans, or Afro-Brazilians, or Afro-Cubans? As far as all these other names I just mentioned, before the Spaniards came and called the island Puerto Rico, or Taino, who were these people? And we're finding this out. Before it was, before the same island was split, and one side is Haiti, and the other side is Dominican Republic. And it got that designation. If you, well, if you're on this side of the island, you're a Haitian, but you're on this side of the island, this side of the island, you're a Dominican. Before those names were given to the people, and one side, on this side of the island, y'all gonna speak a mix of Creole and France and English and whatever, and we'll call it Creole. And y'all over here, y'all gonna speak Spanish. And it's split on the same island. Before that those designators came, who were these people? And now we're coming to the truth. Before we learn anything about being a Baptist or Methodist, who taught us to be Baptists or Methodists or Episcopalians or Seventh-day Adventists or Methodists or Mormons or non-denominational? Before we learn any of these modern religions, and that's exactly what they are, with the age of discovery, with the discovery of the Americas, when the Catholic priest came over, the Jesuit priest came over, the Catholic priest came over and forced the people that were in these, living in these lands already, and forced this religion upon them. Forced these languages that we're speaking, from English to Portuguese to gutter to mumble rap. Before we learn any of this, we're finding out the truth about nationality. Our identity is that we really are the Israelites. But now we got to keep going, keep cleansing, and keep awakening. What does it mean to be Israelite? Who are we? What is our culture? What is our identity? How do Israelites operate? How do Israelites dress? What do Israelites eat? What do Israelites celebrate? What do Israelites, what is patriotic about being an Israelite? I know how to be a patriotic American. I got to have the American flag. I got to chant USA, USA, USA. I know I got to be supposedly a Democrat or Republican. I'm supposed to like the, either the Yankees or the Cowboys. Eat American apple pie. I have a dog named Spot. What else? Go on vacations every summer. And vote in how to be a patriotic American. But how do we be patriotic Israelites? Is there such thing as being a patriotic Israelite? And how was that displayed? How was that done? How is that celebrated? And these are the things that goes along with our awakening to the fact that we're Israelites, to our awakening, to our identity. That these are the things now that we have to put together. These are the things now that we have to look forward to. And these are the things that we have to instill in our children. These are things that for those who did grow up here in America, Yankee Doodle went to town riding on his pony, stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni. As much as we have all these stupid ass songs in our minds, about the patriotism to America. As much as our people can become the singers and sing the national anthem and bring a tear to your eye, the rock is red glare, the bombs bursting in air. You know, it was pause, right? Because, you know, we had changed it up a little bit. That as much as we can do all those things and bring that sense of emotion to being Americans, as much as our people want to come from Cuba, from Puerto Rico, Central America, South America, to come be a part of the American dream and be patriotic. And as they take the test to become American citizens, they got to know the founding fathers. They got to know who the president of the United States is. They got to know all these facts about America. Paul Bunyan, Babe in the Blue Ox, Johnny Appleseed, I guess. That you need to be proud in understanding the culture and understanding America. If you want to partake and be an American citizen and enjoy the benefits of being part of the greatest country ever lived on God's green earth, give it a hand. That there's a sense of patriotism that's got to be developed to being an American. So where's the sense of patriotism for being an Israelite? How do we instill, inspire, and spark this to be proud of where you come from, to be willing to fight for your morals and what you believe in and what your people stand for? These are the things that we have to come back and start to wake up and reignite, like Thor did in Avengers Endgame when he had to no, sorry, that was Infinity War. When he got Starjammer, where he had to take on he had to reignite that star that somehow a giant midget. You're a midget, but you're a giant. Oxymoron. But had to reignite that star. Remember, he had to take Rocket and swing the ship and throw Rocket, and the Rocket had to hit the blasters, and Thor had to hold the rope and reignite the star. He had to hold the gate open as the full power of the star shone and lit him on fire, or damn near melted him. That he had to reignite that star. But how do we reignite the patriotism for being Israelites? How do we reignite the sense of what are Israelite high holy days? What are Israelite holy days? Not holidays, holy days. That this is the purpose of the teaching that we do. This is the purpose of having the morning blog talks. And thank anybody who is tuning in to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, MASHBA. We thank you for your support and for your choosing. On your Tuesday morning, schedule to tune in to blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, MASHBA. Or you choose to call in to Eric 646. I'm being all sarcastic. 646-668-2568. We thank you for choosing blogtalkradio.com. That we have to reignite these things. We've got to reignite and awaken this passion for who we are, this passion for our heritage. Because we, again, quoting Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. We're dead to who we are. What was our purpose? What did God create in us? Why did God create us? And as we're in this awakening, we're waking back up to our nationality. We're waking back up to our identity. that it's not just about getting our identity. That if I got to fill out a job application and ask for my ethnicity, that on my job application, I make sure I hit the box that says other, so I can write on the little line next to it, Hebrew Israelites. There's a little bit more to it, brothers and sisters. There's a little bit more to it. That we have to continue to dive in and now get and clean up our perceptions, clean up our outlooks about what it really does mean to be a Hebrew Israelite. And I'm saying this also for the sake of our children, that for those who have of us that have brought children into, Most High has blessed us. Let me say it like that. The Most High has blessed us to have children. As our children are now being given on their receipts called a birth certificate and their receipt called a Social Security card, that they're now having Israelite names on their so-called birth certificates. That their idea or sense of being Israelite is going to class, whenever we go to class, being bored out of my mind, and going to a corner somewhere, and we might play some games or something, and I'm still not getting a sense of what it means to be an Israelite at all. The idea of being Israelite means go to, just like when I was going to church when I was a kid, as I think about this now, that going to church meant if I didn't go to Sunday school where there were activities taking place, whether it was a puppet show, whether it was arts and crafts, whether it was even snacks, that it was some type of activity to keep me distracted, keep me entertained. That if I was forced, and that's the way I feel, if I was forced to go to big kids, to big church, adult church, we're about to sit in this big-ass place on these hard-ass pews for 3 hours. Really? And every once in a while we might get up, this is the Baptist church, every once in a while we might get up, sing a song, hear some more announcements, sing some more songs, wondering, like, if there's a building fund, how come there's no AC in the church? Why does everybody have a fan? The preacher gets up. He goes over maybe 3 scriptures. And you would think God would heal the phlegm in his throat because he always keeps going, ah. And he's sweaty. Then the organ starts and the drummer kicks in and the choir stands and that big fat lady starts singing and then someone starts jumping up and down next to me. Hit me in my head a couple times. It was said she caught the Holy Spirit. Some man just started running around the church. Like he made the coach mad and the coach said, run some laps. Um, Yeah, babe, I got you. That was church. And then the thing that you know, we all look forward to was, you know, I am borrowing some things from my wife's observation at church, that which sister, older sister, was going to be cussing in church? Which woman was going to be the one who cussed in the church and didn't give a damn? But beyond that, it was straight boring. It felt like prison. Well, a lot of Hebrew Israelite children are getting the same experience, that there's nothing to relate to them, even though we're going over so many more scriptures, even though there's a lot more scriptures being pulled out, that the concept to them is still foreign. So their perception, idea of being Hebrew Israelite is boring. Their perception of being Hebrew Israelite, it means we come together and get bored. There's no interaction. And these are some of the things that we've got to work on. These are some more areas and things that we got to really adjust. Again, they wanted to instill that patriotism for being a Hebrew Israelite with our children, to where our children like gather together with other Hebrew Israelite children and talk about Hebrew Israelite things and do Hebrew Israelite things, even if it is going to play sports. They're doing it together and realize that sports is just a tool. It's not a life. If it's getting together and play video games, but it's just a tool. It's not a life. Where we're going to sit up and watch on YouTube other kids playing video game, the video game I got. No. No. But for those who did go to those church, grew up in church, weren't there youth activities? Wasn't there a youth activity director? And there was things that was done to make Christian kids or Baptist kids, whatever denomination you grew up in, to make you feel a part and feel good about being a part of this church. And I'm directing, when you point the finger at somebody, I think my brother Ice, in Albuquerque, when you point the finger at somebody, for as much as you got one finger pointing at them, if you look at it, you have three fingers pointed back at you, including the pinky. Your pinky, the ring finger, and your middle finger. As you point your finger at someone else, you have three other fingers pointing right back at you. So I'm not pointing my finger at other people to, as Mr. Rector, deflect the fact that I have not put in better steps and more steps, or even thought about making sure that the kids will be involved and that there's something for them. That again, and I'm only using the word patriotism now, for lack of a better word, to get them excited about being Israelites, to get them patriotic about them. That this has got to be worked on. That for myself, I got to come out of my selfishness about just thinking about what I'm going through and realize we have a nation of people that have to wake up. And a nation of people is men, women, and yes, children. And, I don't know if you can hear that right now, but the apartment I'm in right now, the people upstairs moved out, and now the maintenance has decided now they want to fix up the apartment upstairs. So now I guess they're scraping up the glue from the carpet that was put up there, and now they're finding some floorboards that are loose. So now they're doing some knocking. So if you can hear that in the broadcast, I do apologize, but we're in America. This is where it's at right now. But as I was saying, as I point the finger at someone else, even from my own hand, there's three other fingers pointing right back at me. So, again, I'm not doing this just to make others feel bad or guilty or what have you. But getting out of my own way, when I say my own way, I'm talking about my children's way. I'm talking about I can't make this so much about myself and just what I'm feeling and just what I'm going through that they are forgotten about. Because I promise you, just like for those who've been here with Israelites for a while, you know we've gone over this topic before, that we know that it's not just about the deliverance out of America. That's not the end game. Speaking of end game, remember how when Thor did get Starjammer and he showed up at Wakanda and he threw Starjammer and it was a death blow, but he threw it at Thanos' chest. And remember, Thanos said, "You should have went for the head." And Thanos was still able to snap his fingers. And he did throw the hammer. He did throw Starjammer. And it was a death blow, but it didn't stop anything. It wasn't the end. It wasn't the end. Again, I'm bringing that example up, that picture, that memory up for the sake of, again, just finding out, just to keep it simple, just finding out that we're Israelites. That's not enough. Oh, that's what I was bringing up. That in this end game, it didn't end because Thor hit Thanos with Starjammer. That didn't end everything. And us coming out of Egypt, coming out of America, when we came out of ancient Egypt, the parents and those people that were over the age of 20, when we came out of ancient Egypt, only two of them made it to the promised land. Actually made it to the kingdom. That was Joshua and Caleb. That they're the ones who actually made it to the promised land. Moses didn't make it. Aaron didn't make it. So, because those parents and those adults that came out of Egypt were so contaminated with the Egyptian lifestyle, so contaminated with their own pain, their own hurts, their own things that they went through in Egypt, they couldn't let that go, even after being delivered out of Egypt. When the people caused them the pain and the hurt, that caused them the pain and hurt that they went through, being the Egyptians, seeing them floating in the Red Sea, seeing Egypt burn, that they could not let go of the pain, the hurt, the scars of Egypt. And that prevented them from really receiving what the Most High was offering. So I don't want to be in my own way now. That well, I've got so much of America still within me. And remember, for our foreparents coming out of Egypt, they saw the miracles that were performed in being delivered out of Egypt. They saw the chariots. They saw the chariot by day, the cloud by day, and the fire by night. They actually heard the voice of the Most High. They actually ate manna from heaven. They actually ate the quail. They saw and heard the Most High. But because they were still so contaminated, they didn't make it to the promised land, but their children did. Their children was able to make it. So I'm trying to put the steps in. Let me get out of my own way. Now I'm not talking about quit trying to clean myself up. I ain't talking about that there's a declaration that I'm no longer going to keep trying to work on myself, and it is what it is. And y'all just going without me because I'm just too wicked anyway. That's not how I want this to come across, describing this, but just I need to get out of my way and just stop thinking about what I've been through and my pain and my sorrow and my whatever. And I got to think about, are we getting the kids ready for the kingdom? Am I getting my children ready to serve in the kingdom, to be in the kingdom? To hell yeah, make it past the deliverance of America. That's without question. But then, after the deliverance from America, will they be able to survive the wilderness? And then eventually the kingdom, being the actual people that possess the kingdom. Like when we came out of Egypt. That I cannot, I have to get off of me and just what I'm going through and what I'm thinking, and I got to consider them. And to be honest, if they can make it, I win anyway. How much do parents want something better for their children? How much do parents want their children to have a better life than they did? If it comes to living in America, what parent, what generation did not want their children to have it better than they did? Well, damn, that concept, I'm not going to say is wrong. I'll say it was wrong to what was to where it was applied at. But the concept of wanting better for your children, that is not wrong. So why am I making sure that better for my children means them being prepared for the kingdom, them to be possessors and rulers in the kingdom, them to be happily ever, live happily ever after in the kingdom. And that's something temporary like America. I want to get out of my own way. And it's hard work. It's hard work. You have to realize, again, facing the facts, when it comes to the Most High and the patriotism of what it means to be an Israelite, many of us, we are the first generation. We're the first generation of just coming into the awakening that we're Israelites. Let alone being that first generation that's not having children that are born as Israelites. A small few are grandparents that from your work, your children have now grown and had children, and now your grandkids are now becoming third generation Israelites. But that's just starting to begin. That's just starting to come together. It's just scratching the surface. And again, even with that, scratching the surface, there's still that disconnect. There's still not a real sense of patriotism being extended all the way down to the grandchildren. To be able to come back and be like Paul said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. That on both sides of my family, my grandparents, on my dad's side, my dad was a Hebrew, and my dad's dad and mama were Hebrew Israelites. And on my mama's side, my mama, papa and granny was Israelites. That we're just barely coming into that realm where we can have grandchildren that are growing up able to say this. That we want to keep striving for the high prize. We want to keep striving for that calling. We want to keep striving for that. We want to keep striving for getting to that spot where our children are growing up. I'm going to go real quick to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm going to start at verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, and it reads, "Therefore, say, lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if you shall keep," Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22, "for if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave to him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place where the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon unto the river, from the river Euphrates even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." That we want this is what we want to be striving for. We want our children, that we're going to make sure our children's children get this. Now, that was Deuteronomy chapter 11. This was repeated. That was actually being repeated from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to start verse 1. Now I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and start verse 1. So now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord, your power, your God, commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. Remember, if we're taking a look at this, by this time, Moses was teaching the Israelites, y'all got to do this not for where you're at right now, because it was the wilderness. Do this for when you get to the promised land. Start practicing these things now, so that when you get to the promised land, you'll get it and possess it and keep it forever. Don't just think about your present time, present condition, what you're going through right now. This was just this was very temporary, talking about their travels and experience in wilderness. That our travels and experience in wilderness, by this time now, it was just waiting for our children to grow of age. Remember, if you was over 20, you were in the way now. But the Most High obviously couldn't just kill everybody over 20, because now for all the kids and the people that were under 20, what are they supposed to do? So that 40 years was to teach our children, to prepare our children for the promised land, that they would be able to go in and handle things the right way. So we want to get to the point where, as we're rehearsing the righteous acts, why are we rehearsing the righteous acts? Not just for our own salvation and our own whatever. Are we getting our children ready to possess the kingdom? Are we getting them that, again, that sense of patriotism, so that when by the time they get to the kingdom, they're ready? By the time they get to the kingdom, they're prepared. You know, like the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know, that as it's in heaven part? Are we getting our let me go ahead and be more specific. Am I getting my children ready for the kingdom? Am I getting my children ready that they're doing the Lord's will on earth like it's going to be in heaven? Or like it is in heaven? Moses, if we come back and we look, was preparing the children of Israel, not for what we was going through just at that particular time. For that 40 years, we were living in the wilderness. He was, every warning, everything he was exhorting and saying was, for when you get to the promised land. But who was he talking to? The children. So that when y'all finally get the promise, because it's going to happen, we're not staying in the wilderness. We're going to the promised land. You're going to make it. And by the time you get there and make it, you'll know what to do. You're not going to be stuck or questioning. Like, I guess in the Terminator movies, John, what was his name? John, Connor. And Sarah Connor was doing everything to do what? Get him ready for what was to come. Not what's going on right now. Not what was happening in the present, but for the future. In the future, being that what? Syntex, Syntab, but cyber, whatever, was going to, AI was going to go online, and the creatures, the machines will come to life, and you got to get ready to fight this battle. You got to get ready for the next era. Not just this one. If you're only thinking about this era, how you're living now, and what's going on now, and what's happening now, you're not getting ready for what's to come. As my brother Bonabai likes to always say, are you preparing for what's next? Are you preparing for what's next, or are you just living for right now? And again, when I say for what's next, I don't want to have this come back in my face of getting ready for what's next for us to live in America. Are we getting our children ready for the next kingdom? Are we getting them ready for what the Most High season is? For what the Most High has going on? So, going back to Deuteronomy now, chapter 6, verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord, your power, commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess. That this is what's going to be needed for where you're going. Where are you going to? Do you like the way things are showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know? That's an old 70 songs. I was born in 69. That's an old 70 white people songs. But anyway, verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord your God. Where? For where you're going. That when you get to the place you're going, you might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Are we getting this ready for our sons and our son's sons? Not just for our comfort and convenience right now. Not just for what we're going through right now. Are we getting things prepared for thou and thy son and thy son's son? That would be our grandchildren. And we're making things prepared for our grandchildren, for those who had the reincarnation class, if we're getting things prepared so that our grandchildren are taught this, that's three generations away. Uh-oh, fourth generation, guess who's coming back? Uh-oh. Pew, pew, pew. Arnold Palmer alert. Arnold Palmer alert. Burp. Deuteronomy 62. That thou mightest fear the Lord your God, to keep all his commandments, his statutes, and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 3, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. He didn't say that you might prosper in the wilderness. He didn't say that we could prosper in Egypt, but that we might increase mightily as the Lord God of our fathers promised us, promised thee, that we might prosper in the land that floweth with milk and honey, the promised land. Not the land of our captivity. Not the temporary land of our travels, but in the land that was promised to our forefathers. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, just to the nation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. If I was going to sum up verse 5, wouldn't that be patriotism? Wouldn't that be patriotism? And this was said to the whole nation. So now, what, we have a whole nation of people that are all patriotic towards one cause, the nation? And not just the individual household or individual making sure he's rich, he's prosperous, and you can pay all his bills? So now, when it's time for my daughter to get married, my daughter, who should be raised patriotic, will look for a husband who is also, is patriotic? So that my son, so he might have children, my son's son, that when my son is looking for a wife, a helpmate, a partner, a soulmate, that my son should be patriotic towards being Hebrew Israelite, so that now his wife is going to be, oh my God, patriotic towards being an Israelite? How happy are my grandchildren going to be that they are now the result and can be a Hebrew of Hebrews? And again, by the time the reincarnation comes, that now my grandchildren are marrying other three and four time patriotic, third and fourth generation patriots of Israel, patriots of being Hebrew Israelites. By the time my little black ass comes back, good Lord. Good golly, Miss Molly. Wow. I'm read on. I'm going to read that again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. You're going to learn today. All right. We're going to learn today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, is one Lord. If we have this type of patriotism going on, is it going to be any quarreling about are we celebrating Christmas or not? Is there going to be any dispute about are we raising the kids as Israelites or Americans? Is there going to be any dispute about what foods we're eating? Is there going to be any disputes about tattoos? Smoking cigarettes, dope, period? Is there going to be any disputing going on? No. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, is one Lord. Why do I have a picture of Medea right now? Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart. Lord. And all these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. On that right there, how were the cities of America built? Did we not build all these cities? From slavery, from the chain gangs, from the blue collar hard work that we do, from the sharecropping that's been done, the migrant workers. Have we not built these cities here in America? But the Most High said, we're going to be given cities that we haven't had to build. This is what he's saying. And this was the warning Moses was giving the children of Israel. I'm going to read on a little bit more. Let me verse 10 again. And it shall be when the Lord, thy God, shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. and housest full of all good things, which thou filledest not. All your precious medallions and sentimental trinkets, and a house full of memories. That wasn't a good house that the Most High gave us. That wasn't the good things the Most High was talking about. He said, which we filled not. We didn't fill these houses of the good the Most High was talking about. In the land, in the place the Most High was talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 11. And houses full of all good things, which thou filledest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, well, we want to be careful of, brothers and sisters. I'm going to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and so verse 5. I'm starting at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments, which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Was America given to us? Or is the promised land and the coming kingdom, is that what is going to be given to us? And I love what's being said here in verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them. To be taught, so that means it's something you've never done before. That's why you got to be taught how to do it. So again, we struggle and we wrestle and we contend with, I've never done this before. This is all new. You're right. So knowing that you've never done this before and it's new, why are you fighting? And the ultimate cop out, maybe I'm not meant to be an Israelite because it's just too hard. Really, so the all promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, everything the Most I did to move heaven and earth to make sure that when you got awakened, you got awakened so that it can just be easily dismissed by you. Well, maybe I'm not meant to be Israelite. I didn't grow up this way. No shit. Really? Is that why you can't say that you're a Hebrew of Hebrews? Is that why you can't say that? But is that why you can say you're third generation Washington? Is that why you can say you're third generation cop? That's why you got Thug Life tattooed on your belly like Tupac did? That's why you want to be part of the Dungeon Family? Because you've never taught these things? I'm starting to believe you that you weren't taught these things. I'm starting to believe that you didn't grow up this way. But not just because you just said it. The Most High said it. That's why instead of you contending, why don't you listen? Because you're right. A lot of these things we've never been taught. Have we sat back and really considered what type of tortures our people went through to make sure that our great grandparents was taught how to be Americans, taught to love pork, taught to love turtle? Don't leave it out from the dirty where they grew up on possum, raccoon, and squirrel. Where they grew up eating the pig from the rooter to the tooter. What kind of tortures did we go through? What kind of tortures did our great grandparents go through that became the family tradition? To have that lifestyle forced upon them. That honestly, there's a lot of things about being Hebrew Israelites we never learned, we never knew. I never knew. Reading on, and I know we gotta get out of here. Verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Don't add to what was being taught. Your commentary is not needed. You shall not add unto the word. This is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. And I'm trying to do my impression of like Robocop voice. That ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord, thy God, has destroyed them from among you. Remember, the Baal-peor is where you get, you know, making it rain, going to the strip club, making it rain. But, verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 4. But, meaning, you know, back in the day, getting back to the days of Moses, that the introduction of women dancing on a stripper pole and men sitting there and throwing money at them, because they were, at the time, they were called temple prostitutes. They were called strippers. It wasn't like T-Pain, I'm in love with a stripper. No. Those men that were in love with strippers was put to death. So, verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. And for all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord, thy God, had destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord, your God, are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord, thy God, commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it, and where you're going to. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God, in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. I got to work on bringing patriotism back to being an Israelite. Not for America. Not so I can do a protest and stand in America and make sure America recognizes me as an Israelite. But for the patriotism for my children so they can do this in the promised land. They can be patriotic about being Israelites in the kingdom. But it starts here in this captivity. It starts here in this oppression. We're supposed to keep our eye on the prize. The prize of the kingdom. And if we can't make it, then can our children make it? And are they going to be ready to possess the kingdom and not have to wrestle with the demons and the dirt and the vile things that America is teaching, the traditions and the customs that America is teaching? And that they're learning from us. Or they're learning from us the right way. And again, the right way being the Most High's way. And they're feeling good about standing up for the Most High. I got work to do. I got work to do. It ain't over. Jam. Oh, jam. Jam. The Saba jam for me now. All right. As you can see, the guy has now moved directly above my head. In the apartment above us. That is the cue that this one is a wrap. So with that, thank you everybody for tuning in to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba. If you liked or enjoyed what was going on today, we invite you to like, share, subscribe to our YouTube channels, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, Live, and ISBHBK Norfolk Live. If you'd like to help out with any donations to our broadcast or anything we have going on, please contact Mashaba at 210-784-8463. If you'd like to send tithes or rent to help the school out in Albuquerque, go through Google Wallet to isbhbkabq@gmail.com. If you'd like to help the brothers and sisters out in Houston or in Norfolk, Virginia with any type of financial help, we invite you to again, use Google Wallet or Google Pay and go to isbhpk@gmail.com, leaving out the ABQ. And with that, thank you for again, tuning in and listening to Sword of Truth Blog Talk Radio, Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk, where we try our best here to let the Bible do the talking. And with that, we invite you to join us again on Thursday as we continue our Bible Talk discussions. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and please have a wonderful and glorious day. God bless.